The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
And speaking of what's happening here, the phased return to schools will be happening in earnest from next week. Childcare reopening soon and parents nationwide, obviously breathing a collective sigh of relief. But with numbers still high, is the likely extension of Level 5 until early April the correct course of action? Well, to get into this and what today's Cabinet meeting has in store, I'm joined by Group Political Correspondent for Communicore, Sean Defoe, and by GP in Stranraer and Donegal and Chair of the Irish Medical Organisation's GP Committee, Dr. Dennis McCauley. Good morning to you both. Sean, first of all, this is a cabinet of leaks. We get to hear about everything before we get to hear about everything. So what are we hearing?
Morning, Pat. Yeah, we kind of have it well ventilated at this stage. So as you mentioned, really the two significant reopenings in March is going to be the schools and going to be childcare services. And that's about it, unfortunately, for next month. There's a new review date been set. March the 5th has become April the 5th. So in around Easter, we're going to have another review and see where restrictions go after that. In the meantime, childcare is going to open, starting with those preschools that are on the ECHI scheme, the state-backed scheme. That's going to happen from March 8th. And then the rest or the wider childcare sector from later on in the month, from the 27th of March. And in terms of schools, we have firm dates that have gone before the Cabinet Subcommittee and will go before Cabinet today. Now, Minister Stephen Donnelly last night and Claire Byrne did seem to cast some doubt over that, over whether the unions were fully on board, and then walked it back again in a tweet late last night saying actually the talks with the unions had finished and they were hoping to announce something today. So we do need to still hear a little bit from the unions, but it does look as though the dates are set in stone. And what they are going to be is that from next Monday, from March the 1st, you're going to see the return of a bit over 300,000 students, and they're going to be leaving cert students, junior and senior infants, first and second class. Then the rest of primary school will follow on March 15th, along with fifth year students in secondary school. And then, as we reported on this show last week with Jonathan, there is going to be a large cohort of students that will not be back in the classroom until well after Easter, until April 12th, the remainder of secondary students, students below fifth and sixth year.
Are we likely to get any detail of the extra precautions they will be taking at all levels, whether it's at Leaving Cert or right down to childcare, in terms of perhaps testing? Because I mentioned earlier in the programme, when we talked about what the UK is doing, that Boris Johnson's a fan of lateral flow testing, antigen testing, and that will be happening in the schools.
Yeah, I don't think, certainly all the suggestions, and I know you've spoken to Stephen Donnelly on the show before about this, is that antigen testing is not the way that this government is going to go. And they're obviously, look, there's pluses and minuses with it, but they're not particularly hot on it or to go after it. So I don't see that being a big part of it. But yes, we are going to get some further detail. We don't know exactly what that is going to look like, but the unions have been in talks with the Department of Education for a number of weeks now over not only just the Leaving Cert, but also the reopening of schools, and have gone in with, look, if we're going to do it, this is what we need to do. I think the trouble may come in getting all that in place before the 1st of March. If they need to have certain types of masks, or if they need to be wearing masks all the time, getting supply and making sure supply is there for all schools who are returning, hand sanitizer, all that. Obviously, some of that should and could have been done in the interregnum period we'd have while they were closed. But I think some schools may be a little bit pushed by that less than a week's notice.
How could that be? They have enough time to prepare for pretty much everything when you're in lockdown.
From talking to some teachers myself that I know, they have said that they don't know exactly what they're going to be looking like in terms of the situation in classrooms, or what exactly the extra precautions they may have to take are. So while they think by and large they've covered the bases, if there is something a bit more in there, there might be a little bit push to make a grab for it. But that's all in the detail that we have to see later.
Now, in terms of the emergency payments, the PUP and the TWSS, they are to continue without much controversy, it would appear.
Yeah, so they're probably going to be extended until the end of June. That's the date that's been given. They were due to expire at the end of next month. But there's a bit of an acceptance at Cabinet that, look, realistically, we are not going to be in a position by the end of June where all of society is going to be reopened, and a lot of the people who are on the PUP payment or the wage subsidy scheme are going to be either fully back at work, or their businesses be profitable enough that they won't actually need that support to get them through. Initially, there had been a little bit of a question from public expenditure about, well, do we need to do it to the end of June? Do we have to have a full 3 months? Because obviously this is a huge strain on the public finances. We put so much aside, but if we don't have to use that, we shouldn't use it, or we should look at changing the the rates. But I'm told that Minister Michael McGrath, really after the briefings in the last week, has come around to the position that there's not much of a choice. Even if you were to say, OK, we'll extend it by 2 months, realistically, you're going to end up extending it until at least the end of June, possibly even longer anyway.
Now, one of the problems that they have is they still haven't passed the legislation on quarantine, and it has to go through the Dáil this week, and then it has to go through the Seanad, and then they have to make arrangements with hotels and all the rest of it. Have they any explanation for their tardiness?
Not, I haven't heard a good one, I'll put it to you that way. There's obviously a certain amount of detail had to go into the actual legislation. If you're talking about when people arrive into the country, detaining them straight away, you know, that from a civil liberties point of view and a constitutional point of view, that's not a simple thing. You would have thought a lot of that work could have been done at some point in the last year, that there would have at least been some Mandarin in the department giving some bit of consideration.
You know, long before your time and even my time, when the TB epidemic was underway, people were forced to isolate in the so-called TB hospitals. And we had the same constitution then as we have now. And I'm wondering, does this government understand what an emergency is? You know, if a pandemic, a global pandemic, is not an emergency, you know, there doesn't seem to be the speed that an emergency would dictate in Kildare Street.
And particularly on this one, I think this is one that frustrates me, it frustrates a lot of people, because if we are talking about getting down to whatever, you can have the debate about zero COVID, put that aside for a second, but if you're talking about getting down to very low levels and then reopening, like, the variants are the big issue. They are what could undermine every sort of plan, no matter what plan you're going to put forward. And there hasn't been this rush. We've seen the large numbers of people who've come in over the last few weeks. So I don't think they have fully grasp the importance of moving swiftly on that, and the fact that even the Dáil is still only sitting for 2 days a week. I mean, realistically, they could have had this legislation in the Dáil on Friday, could have put it to the Seanad on Friday as well if they wanted to, or opened up the Seanad yesterday to put it through, but they've chosen not to do that.
Yeah, because I remember when we were on the verge of a banking collapse. I mean, years and years ago, there was AIB was on the brink of collapse because of one of its subsidiaries, and literally overnight, they rescued the bank.
And they can do it as they want. It's been done more recently with the Brexit legislation. There was last minute Dáil sittings, late night sittings up to 1 and 2 in the morning. It's not like we're unfamiliar with this.
All right, Sean. Look, thanks for that update. So no surprises, since we pretty much know everything. I suppose the only surprise might be if they allow golf courses to reopen or something like that. But it would be small beer indeed compared to, I suppose, what people are observing. One last thing, Sean, before I let you go. And I'll talk to Dennis McCauley about all of this in a moment. The problem is Northern Ireland is likely to be ahead of us because of their access to the AstraZeneca vaccine in quantity. So they're likely to be opening their pubs and opening other things long before we do south of the border. How are they going to cope with that phenomenon?
That's going to be a huge problem. It's going to be an absolutely massive headache unless our vaccination program can actually get there and catch up. And there is some evidence, if you believe the numbers that have gone to Cabinet, in the fact that we're going to be having 1 million vaccinations done a month from April. If you get 3 million people done in the second quarter of the year alone, there is optimism and reason to think that actually our timeline might not be massively different to the UK. They're just not going to say it because they're afraid of being hostages to fortune of that particular political date. And I think our plan is going to be today, by the way, quite disappointing in that front, having seen the Rolls Royce, if you like, of hope that came out yesterday that a lot of people would want to see. We're not getting anywhere near that. We're not going to get dates of any sort of a kind. But those kind of issues just highlight how inept the north and south of the border the governments have been in actually working together on a plan. The only other thing I'd mention as well, Pat, just very separately, is construction that is going to Cabinet today, and a bit of a big loss for Minister Dara O'Brien, who's been pushing quite heavily to open the wider construction centre apartment and home building. That's not going to happen now in March. It's going to be deferred to the April 5th date. NPHET weren't willing to back it, as well as the schools, because of the variant. They didn't want that many people moving around. But what it means, and the term one minister put it to me last night, was a housing hangover, which is just building up and building up, that towards the latter half of this year you're going to have a situation where there are record numbers of mortgage approvals and no houses being built, back to the very depths of the recession in terms of actually building, and second hand supply is tiny. So that's a very big one to watch at the Cabinet today.
Now, there's one thing you might mention if you come across Pascal in your travels. There's an issue about people returning to Ireland because they have to. These are the tech workers, the high-tech workers, many of whom went to their home countries to cocoon effectively because there was no social life in Ireland and they were paying high rents. So they jacked it all in and they went home. But for tax reasons, they have to get back into the jurisdiction. Now, I'm thinking these are scattered all over the places in Spain, places of high COVID, and they're going to be coming back.
They are going to be coming back.
Whether or not it is wise to have them all coming back in March, they don't have to. They can still work remotely. But would it not be a good idea to say to these guys, look, don't worry about your tax situation for the moment. We'll give you an extension or a deferment. Don't come back until it's absolutely safe to do so. We don't want you bringing any variants in here.
Yeah, absolutely, would be something to look at, and it's a tricky one as well. Then as well, because a lot of those people gave up their accommodation when they left, so then they're coming back. They're maybe moving in with roommates again. You get the spread, but of course, the simple solution to that, Pat, for by and large, would be get that mandatory quarantine legislation passed. The majority of the countries at risk would be on it, and then we wouldn't be worrying too much about it. But certainly something else for Pascal to consider, as you say. If I see him in the halls, I will certainly ask him.
Okay, very good, Sean. Thank you very much for joining us. Sean Defoe, Group Political Correspondent for Communicorps. Listening to that conversation, Dr. Dennis McCauley, a GP in Stranorla and Donegal, Chair of the Irish Medical Organisation's GP Committee. Dennis, good morning.
Hello, Pat. Good morning to you.
Let's talk, first of all, about, because of where you're located, that different pace of reopening that might happen on either side of the border. That's got to be a concern.
It is. I think the border counties are very responsive to what's happening in Northern Ireland. I think it's no coincidence that we're in Donegal now. We're below the national average in regards to our rates of COVID infection per 100,000. That's the first time that's happened really since September, and that's primarily because the incidence is so low in Northern Ireland now. I think they look at their 7-day average, and if you look at their 7-day average and compare it to Donegal, it is identical. So, yes, okay. I think what happens in Northern Ireland happens in the border counties, unfortunately.
All right. So that wouldn't be a concern if, for example, everyone opens up north of the border, pubs and so on, and you can walk across the border in a Black Lion, for example, and have a pint in Northern Ireland without any problem. So the question is whether the pubs in Northern Ireland would even want people coming from the south if they're not vaccinated.
I think when you have a situation where you have face-to-face people socialising without a mask, it is going to lead to the spread of the vaccine if there isn't a vaccinated population. So I think that the actual spectre of people from Donegal or Cavan going into Northern Ireland when the pubs open and the incidence on this side is not low and we haven't a vaccinated population is a worrying sort of image, really.
Now, schools reopening, there is a concern, obviously, that new variants might affect younger members of the population in ways that the original variety of coronavirus did not. Hello, Dennis.
Hello, I lost you there, Pat, but I'm actually moving closer to the river. I was asking you
there, are there concerns about new variants that might affect school-going children in a way that the original virus did not?
I think there is. There's two bits of information. The information from Israel and the information from the UK is that the variant does appear to affect children more. Now, the good news is that it doesn't actually affect it doesn't give a more serious illness. But the problem is then we have to have a confidence building situation. So I do agree with the confidence building that is taking place in that they're opening the schools gradually and it's a wait and see policy.
Now, the GP involvement in vaccinations, where are we with that? Because we knew there was a problem with Pfizer minus 70 and so on. That problem, it turns out, is no longer the case because Pfizer have done their tests and it can be stored in the same way as Moderna, which would be a normal freezer rather than a very low temperature freezer. So where are you in terms of the GPs getting involved with any vaccine, whichever it might be?
No, we've actually in the middle of giving the over 85s. There were 16,500 vaccines given last week. You know, by general practice, there was over 60,000 given generally throughout the country. All 85-year-olds should have their first vaccine by the end of next week. Really, so we are getting our vaccine on Wednesday, and so we'll have all our over 85s given their first dose by then. So the news is good. I think that from your last guest, it was sort of saying that the numbers in the Republic are beginning to go up. There was something like an 80% in increase in the number of vaccines given last week than in the week before. So that's a positive metric, and I think that there will be 500,000 vaccines given to the over 70s in the next 12 weeks, and simultaneously then there will be other vaccine available to give to the other age cohorts as well. So we are beginning.
And it needs to ramp up. And AstraZeneca being appropriate, it would appear now, for the over 65s, that should really speed, if we can get supply, that should really speed things up.
Yeah. Remember, AstraZeneca was always appropriate. It was just that the National Immunisation Advisory Committee said that AstraZeneca was, in their view, safe and appropriate for the over 70s, for the over 65s, but they recommended the mRNA vaccines be given in actual preference. So if the decision is made to give the over 65 the AstraZeneca, then and that decision as such hasn't really been clarified to ourselves. If that's the case, we can actually proceed quite quickly. As I say, there, when the supply arrives, there will be GP surgeries, there will be pharmacists, there will be even dentists, and then the mass vaccination centres to give these vaccines.
Now, some of the texters are saying, ask me, and you can't answer this, I know, Dennis, but perhaps you can give your own experience in your own practice the answer. Why are so many over 85 still waiting and those over 90 still not vaccinated?
Well,
Is there a general explanation?
I think there is a general explanation. It is actually that the vast bulk of these patients will be given their vaccine this week and next week. I think that there was only a small amount of vaccine available last week. There is much more this week, and there'll be more next week. So the expectation still is that all over 85s will have their first vaccine by the weekend after next.
All right, and that is good news for that cohort, and then hopefully other cohorts will rapidly follow. But for the moment, Dr. Dennis McCauley, GP in Stranooler in Donegal, Chair of the Irish Medical Organisations GP Committee, thank you very much for joining us.